I was going to start doing like harmonize, but then I got scared because like I'm going to sound like sack shit. So I wussed out.
As if my singing is the thing that the listeners come here for.
I know, but still, I was like, oh, like I was going to try flex my vocals, sound like a fucking bag of cats, but I've decided not to traumatize them today. Maybe another day.
I mean,
speaking of being traumatized, I saw something today. It's not like nothing personal, I can't speak, has happened. It's just something that I saw. So basically, there's a new dating show coming on to Netflix in July.
Yes, the furries one.
Right. See, the thing is, if it was like fur furries, I would understand and I would support. I'd be like, go get it. Go get it. Go find the one for you. But it's purely for the fact of, right, it's not fur furries. It's to, right, for anybody that hasn't seen it, it's going to be called Sexy Beasts. And it's basically like Hollywood grade level special effects makeup. So you're essentially going on a blind date, so you can't see what the other person is like, so you just fall in love with their personality. Oh. That's what it's for. It's like, it's not for
okay,
like they're attract, or you know, they're into like furry stuff,
furries for furries sake.
Yeah, it's not that, it's purely, yeah, for disguise,
or that's what they say.
But that's disguise, like it looks, the only way I can describe it is like the CGI fucking Mutant Ninja Turtles from the live action films. Well, live action. Like, that's what they look like. It's so bizarre. There was actually a show called Love is Blind where you were just locked in a room where you couldn't see the other person. Is that not easier? Because, yes, what about if you're there, yeah, like chatting someone?
Or just put like a bag on their head, like.
But if someone approaches you and they have a big fucking ant head with like the little feelers, like the little feeler things sitting across from you, is that going to terrify you?
Honestly,
like that would put me
how
off.
Do you fall in love with someone with an ant head?
Did I even take a picture? I thought I took a screenshot because I wanted to like show you. I was gonna get fucking sick, I swear to God. No, I mustn't have. But there was one anyway, and your one looks like a squid, or is it a dolphin? Besides the point, like I had the fucking fin thing on top of the head, like the elongated nose. It was the most terrifying thing. It's like if somebody sat across a bar from me and was trying to chat me up looking like that, like I know this is the point, but it's still not the point that, yeah, you're getting to know somebody on like a base level and it's not going to be just on looks, but you still have to be attracted to the person in order to like, yeah, progress.
Exactly. Like if they have a nice personality but then they still turn out to be butt fuck ugly, that you have no sexual attraction to them, then you're just friends.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what friendship is.
But the makeup's scary as well. Like it's done well, but it's terrifying.
Yeah, like I don't think, like they'd be like, oh yes, I'm a lawyer and I'm a very serious person, and then they're just there with a chipmunk fucking head, just,
yeah,
like how are you meant to focus on anything that they're saying to you? How?
I can't. I actually couldn't get over it when I saw it. I was like, for lads, for fuck's sake. Like I really would get it if it was for like,
but it's such a bizarre waste of money as well.
It is.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It's such a waste. The whole Love is Blind thing was grand.
That amount of special effects.
Rent a room, you're fine. Like everybody's in a big shared like accommodation thing, that's fine. But you have to sit in makeup for hours while they put on prosthetics. So it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them look well. Not one.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
Like at least make them like sexy animals so that the fur community can at least enjoy it.
They're just so scary. Like one of them, what was this? One of them was, I think was she a rabbit? But it was more like Happy Tree Friends rabbit. It wasn't.
Oh no, not like Beastars.
Oh my God, that traumatized me. I remember me and Queeve watching it. Like, fuck it, lads, I'll throw it on. Like it wasn't like the worst thing, but there was just, there was moments where you're like, God fucking bless.
Yeah.
What is that?
Ye hyped that up so much that I was like, well, I'm in bed sick, I have nothing better to do, and I'm currently unemployed, so I'm gonna watch this whole thing. And I did, and the whole time I'm thinking, are they ever gonna fuck? Like, it's the whole point
and
of the
they don't
thing.
It's like
they say the point of it is to find this murderer, but it's not. It is the point of this wolf and this rabbit fucking, and apparently they don't fuck in season 2 either. So I'm like, what is the point then? What's the point?
Is the murder even relevant anymore? Absolutely fucking not.
No, because they're literally like, we're going to avenge him. We're going to find out who his murderer is. And that's the start of episode 1, season 1. And you'd never hear about it again.
No.
haven't seen season two. Maybe they solved the murder in season two, but they don't even talk about it anymore.
Do you know what I mean?
It was bizarre.
What's the point?
These are the things in the in our current climate and fucked up world that we get incensed about.
Like, what things to get pressed about?
We have our priorities straight as what?
Oh my god.
Oh god, okay. I think we may have rambled on enough about TV from yeah. the start of this episode.
I think so too.
At this point, due to no random interjections of other tangents to take us off course of that weird topic, may have noticed Queeve is not here again. Why is that, Lizzie?
She's gone fishing.
Yeah.
She's gone fishing. Well, I don't think she's caught Atten.
She's just going to catch these fists for missing another fucking episode.
And she's going to catch that pneumonia as well, because I think it's piss and rain definitely. And she's absolutely drenched. She's definitely miserable. Has to be.
She's definitely miserable.
God bless her.
I am sure she would much rather to be here doing this with us, but alas, she chose to go fishing, so sis made the wrong choice. So we are back. We are back finally. Actually, before we do get into it, I would like to apologise for missing last week, but weird thing happened. My cat tried to murder a bird, and then my soft ass decided to try and save said bird, and didn't sleep for the whole night the night before we were due to record, and therefore did not get record the episode. And the bird died, so it wasn't even worth it. But that's the update. That's what happened last week.
And birds are tramps anyway, like, let's honestly, be honest.
Just wanted to save this fucker, and it gave me the false hope of looking like he was getting better, and I was so proud, and I was like, cool, I'm gonna go to bed. And I went to sleep for 3 hours, and I woke up and the fucker had died. I was like, oh my god.
It's not a thing though, like, before you die, I don't know if this like matters with animals as well, but apparently before you do pass on, you're meant to get like a full bill of health, so like you look like you're cracking, you're ready to go, could run a marathon.
Yeah.
And then you kick the bucket. Apparently it's a thing. So maybe it works in animals as well.
Must be. It must have been that. It was just the false hope that I did not need. So yeah, so naturally I was a mess then the next day, because I'm, like I said, a soft cunt and I hate to see animals die. So no podcast last week. But we're back. And we're back with part two of Jack the Ripper. And let's dive right in. So just to catch up, to do like a quick recap. You, Lizzie, mm-hmm. you left off on the first official victim, but we all agree not the first victim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Miss Marianne.
Miss Marianne. And we are moving on to Dark Annie, victim number two, if you go by the canonical five. Annie Chapman was 47 years old and was much the same as the rest of the victims. She spent most of her last days living in common houses and trying to make money any way that she could. You know what that means?
Yeah.
She had split with her husband after that. She actually had a very tragic life, in fairness. She split with her first, husband, she never remarried, her husband, after their first child. Their oldest child died of meningitis at 12, and their son was born a cripple.
Oh.
Yeah, so not a good time in the 1800s.
Shit. It would have been sensitive if I asked what kind of cripple.
Oh. I don't know. I think just your everyday cripple, wherein
average,
he just
like,
couldn't
club
walk.
Foot.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was just bandy a bit
legs.
Non functional from the waist down.
Yeah,
I think. I don't know because
that
here's the
sounds
thing.
More correct.
I mean, I didn't particularly do a whole deep dive to try and find out what happened to this kid, but like after the first daughter died, there's no mention of what happened to the cripple. There is no mention of the cripple ever again.
Do you reckon? Because times were tough. Now, this is just pure, like, theory, and I hope they didn't do it, but it wouldn't surprise me. Because he would have been hard to look after. Do you reckon they just fucked him into a group home?
I think he most likely went to a group home, because they weren't well-to-do to begin with, so they probably just couldn't
yeah.
afford a sick child. Like,
not even that. It's the time.
Well, yeah.
As well as the money. Because if they had to go out and keep on working, it would have been time, extra time spent with that child because of their disability.
Yeah. And they wouldn't have been able to take care of him properly if they were out working and whatnot.
Yeah. Or could have kicked him in a drink or a reader and just let him fend for himself. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, it's either the fucking, the group home or the river. Like, there wasn't yeah. really much other options when you had a disabled child back then. And that's not us, it's just the times. They're well looked after.
Yeah,
these
like
days.
Genuinely not even being bad.
But yeah, I have no idea, this unfortunately. I can't say for sure. Like, he could have died as well, like, I have no idea.
Meningitis part two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After they split, her husband was sending her an allowance of 10 pence a week, But that stopped in 1886 when he died of cirrhosis of the liver, because apparently he was fond of the old glug glug.
Mm.
So no surprise there. He died at 46, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he died very young. And also, I could not remember what dropsy was, so I didn't mention it. But now I do. I do this myself every time. I don't put it in my notes so that I don't mention it. But then I end up mentioning it anyway. But apparently he also died of dropsy. But I can't remember what dropsy was.
What the fuck is that?
Exactly. I know what dropsy is somewhere in my brain, but I don't remember.
Will I look it up?
Go for it.
Old-fashioned or less technical term for oedemia? What the fuck is oedemia?
Oedemia is less recognisable than fucking dropsy.
Known as fluid retention. He died of fluid retention. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
How do you die of fluid retention? Do you die from the fucking, the liquid in your kneecaps?
Weighted ankles. Yeah. Do you know what he did? He probably walked into the fucking river and he couldn't get back out, to stupid cunt.
Or like in the movie Beer that Fest, he just fell into a fucking tank of drink and drowned in it.
That is so... Ew, now my I've God. Seen pictures of like...
Dropsy.
I think they're dead legs. Obviously the legs are dead because the person is dead. But their legs belonging to a dead person that had this.
I genuinely and thought it was like a living person with dead legs that you were on about. Like necrosis had set in the legs and I was like...
No, my brain just went... That's just what happened.
Moving forward...
Moving on.
The loss of her husband meant the loss of her allowance, which put poor old Annie in a bit of a fucking tight spot, we'll say.
She wasn't okay, bless her, was she?
Apparently, like, after he died, she did get, like, she got really fucking upset. Like, even though they were split, I suppose she still loved him. And, like, a lot of her friends, like, her best friend said that she just completely wasn't herself anymore after he died.
Yeah.
So she would crochet and sell flowers as like a way to make money. So she'd sell them every Friday at the markets. But she still kind of needed to dabble in prostitution. She wasn't like a full-time prostitute like the others. She dabbled in it. She was a part-time prostitute. She only had like a 20-hour contract, you know?
Mm.
She would have to turn to that whenever she needed a bit of money for lodgings. But...
Yeah.
She wasn't an everyday drinker, but she would have a big massive piss up on a Saturday.
Oh, sure, girl, let loose. I'm sorry, exactly. Like, she's had enough troubles. Too right, would I be getting half cut at the weekend or full cut, depending?
In all fairness, like, your whole family has just died. I think you have the right to drink of a Saturday.
Yeah.
Annie was 5 foot and plump. She had fair skin, dark brown hair, and a big thick nose with two missing teeth. So Annie was a looker.
I hope they weren't in the front.
I'm not sure where the location of the two missing teeth were.
Not important, but I don't know why. I'm just...
But almost all of them had missing teeth, which is unusual.
Yeah, like I know she was going to die anyway, but for her own sake. Like not that it mattered. But like reverse bunny teeth, where it's just like a gaping hole in the front of your face.
And then you whistle every time you talk and it's like, not a good time.
No.
But yeah, by all accounts, it was a bit, we'll say, unconventional that she went into prostitution because she wasn't particularly the type of woman that men would spend their money on from the accounts that I have
they
read.
Trying to say?
And she was ugly.
Yet again.
That's basically what they were trying to say. Isn't it? This woman was murdered.
Like, the woman's dead, let her rest. Don't be dogging her out of it. When she's honestly, at peace. It's rude.
Like, I purely bring it up for the interest of giving all of the facts. Doesn't fucking matter if the woman was dog ugly or not. Like, but yeah, along with all of that, she was also most definitely dying of consumption. She done got the tuberculosis.
Oh, not the tubercular.
Yeah, the tubercular.
She's got those scaldy lungs. Yeah, she's not last.
Yeah.
She would have died anyway. No, I'm not saying that, oh my God, like, it's okay that she was... Butchered Christ pig.
But within the fact that she would have died quickly, it was a more merciful death than tuberculosis. What happened to her body afterwards, though, was not more merciful than tuberculosis.
No.
So, pros and cons of being murdered, I suppose.
While having TB.
Yeah. I think I'd rather go out this way than the other way, in fairness. That's just me personally. But
more fun, as I'll be honest. Not that I want to be murdered.
No, but like, I mean, if I'm going to go out, I'd like to go out in a blaze of glory and be the headline of a newspaper and also still have my name mentioned 100 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't disagree.
It's a pretty good way to go, actually, 160 years later now, is it? 18, yeah. 140.
Oh, I can't. Don't ask me.
Yeah, 1888. So yeah, it's like 140. I can barely tell the time. Like,
I'm not going to be able to fucking subtract. No thanks.
On the day of her death, she was sitting in the lodging house kitchen when she was asked for the money for her bed for the night. And she said she didn't have it, but not to worry, she wouldn't be long getting it. And she took off at around 1:50 a.m. to do so. Less than 4 hours later, her mutilated body was found in the back garden of 29 Hanbury Street, Spitalfields, barely a stone's throw away from her lodging house.
Can I just ask, is that what is with these landladies and landowners? Not land. What the fuck are they called? Like the housekeeper people. Staying up to all hours of the bastard of morning to ask people for rent. Because it happened to Mary Ann as well. Like, that was at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So then she was going to go out at a dangerous time. Can they not wait till the morning? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're purposely staying. Like, I know it's for the night, but still.
Apparently it was really common at the time that people in the lodgings would pay right before they went to bed. So it wasn't really that unusual then for them to ask and be like, do you want to pay up? Plus they knew that she had had money. Because apparently she had been that day to beg from her sister to get money off of her. And she did. And she went and she drank it. So they were kind of pissed then because they knew she drank the money for her lodgings and that she didn't have it. And they weren't going to let her sleep there for free because they're bastards. So
I just still feel like there's a sociable hour to ask for these things.
Yeah. Like, women have already been murdered. Maybe don't throw her out onto the street at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's the gall.
They did. They did, and thus then she did not live anymore.
R&B. So
29 Hanbury Street housed a lot of residents, and it included a couple of businesses, one of which was a cat meat shop on the ground floor. Cat meat.
Wait. As
meat from cats.
Like, I get that people were starving.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, unless the cat's like Garfield, what kind of meat is going to be on a cat? I'd assume that they're really lean.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, there's nothing... I mean, I've never cooked a cat, but from feeling them, like, you're not going to get anything from around the belly area. Around their rib cage is very little of anything.
Yeah, like, there's more fucking meat on a butcher's knife than there would be on a cat, like. You're not going to get anything off it. Genuinely. Unless you turn their, like, legs into, like, drumsticks. Maybe. I don't know.
That's it. You'd probably literally nearly be better off catching the copious amounts of rats around London and cooking them up. You'd probably get more meat off of them.
Yeah, the size of them, they would have been massive. Like, I know they would have been absolutely riddled. But sure, they all had tuberculosis anyway, so did it really matter? Or at least they wouldn't starve while they had, like, TB.
Exactly. At least they wouldn't go hungry. But, yeah, cat shop. Cat meat shop. That traumatised me, so I thought I'd throw that detail in there.
Yeah.
But all in all, there were 17 people living there, and a lot more people would come and go because they had legitimate business there. Or, like, one of the resident's sons would come by to check and kind of make sure that nobody was breaking in, because people were always fucking breaking in.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people coming and going. And a lot of those people that lived there would have been leaving for work between 3 and 6 a.m. The man who found the body himself couldn't sleep at all that night. So he had been up all night, and yet not one person heard a singular fucking sound. Not a whimper.
I don't get that.
Not a footstep.
I know.
Isn't that a fucking unbelievable?
Everyone was very much like, keep yourself to yourself because you don't know who you're going to be living beside for too long, do you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be causing unnecessary drama with the neighbours, or especially if you thought it was just a simple domestic.
But this is it. This isn't even a case of like, keep stum. It's fucking,
what
there was
say?
Nothing to hear. Keep stum.
What the fuck is
say
that?
Say nothing, like, keep your mouth shut. Have you never heard that before?
Not once. I literally thought you said a German word.
No. No. Keep stum. I can't be
disgusting.
The only person
never
who says
that again.
Fair enough. It's more that there was nothing to hear. It's not that they said they didn't hear anything. They actually didn't. That's what's more amazing about it.
I feel like
it.
When someone... Like, I know the way earlier on to hear me, like... Well, I'll just say for the first episode. We were saying, oh, he definitely, like, took, like, the throat out first to... stop them from screaming. That makes sense, but
yeah,
I feel like stabbing somebody and like the strength they would have had, like they would have been like exerting themselves. So don't, if you're doing something that's tiring to it, you're going to be making noises because you're bollocks. So how someone didn't hear
that? It seems like it didn't, because at this point, like already, they surmise that it took him between 1 to 2 seconds to actually kill them. to lacerate their throat as deep as he did, it was almost in one fell swoop. Like,
yeah.
The very first one, we had, what, the 7-8 stab wounds to the throat? And then the second one wasn't there. Was it one or two? Like a forward and back kind of situation?
No, the throat was just slit on the first one, but it was like,
it was just the one.
The first one with Martha, it was like, yeah, that was stabbed like 8 or 9 times. And then with Mary Ann, it was a slash, but it was that deep, it nearly took her head off.
Yeah, that's it. So, but like, clearly he figured it out by Mary Ann, because same here. With this one, there was two, but the first one was sufficient. So the second one was just more for fun, I guess. But we'll get into maybe why he might have done it. I think it was this one. He from what they can gather, he would grab them, cover their mouth and nose, and slash their throat all within a couple of seconds. So that completely took out like everything. Severed their vocal cords, severed their esophagus, their windpipe, the whole shebang. They couldn't breathe, they couldn't speak.
Yeah.
So he had them taken out so quickly that no one heard anything. Like, sort of, terrifying.
There's no way that this is only his second person, because I feel like the precision one that we were talking about last week, but then to be able to sneak up on somebody that quietly, or like that unassuming, like that takes practice.
Honestly.
So it does.
John Davis was the man who couldn't sleep, and he gave up trying to sleep at 5:45 a.m. He had a cup of tea and then he headed into the backyard, where he was greeted by the sight of the woman's body sprawled in the yard with her skirts raised above her pelvis. The skirts were up again. That was kind of enough for John. John thought, fuck this, ran back through the house, as tore through the front door, and he cried out onto the street, and I find this more funny than I probably should, but he cried out, men, come here. I'm like, why men? Like, I'm not saying why is he asking for men specifically, I just mean, why would you instantly shout with men?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it just sounds awkward, like.
It's such a strange, like, obviously the man's brain is addled, it's fucking, he hasn't slept all night, just had a cup of tea with his wife, and now he's found a dead bitch in his back garden.
Yeah.
But like, men, come here. Yeah. And so the men did therefore come. They went and got Inspector Joseph Chandler at 6:10 a.m. So 6:10 in the morning. And they told him, there's been another murder, mate. You best come check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Annie's throat had been ripped open. This time, her abdomen had been too. And her lower intestine was still attached, but was taken out and laying above her right shoulder. Her face and tongue were badly swollen, and she had bruising around her lower jaw, which all suggested that she had been strangled before her throat was cut, most likely in an effort to stop her from screaming.
With the intestines up by her neck, was he trying to, like, put it around her head like a fucking scarf? Like,
yeah, the right shoulder is kind of a running theme as well, and I don't know. I have no idea why. Like, I get taking it out because he needed to access other organs, as we'll get to in a second.
Why?
But why specifically above the right shoulder? Why? He literally could have fucking, he could have lassoed the fucking intestines and yeeted it into the distance, and I nearly would have understood that more.
No.
I don't get the ritual of above the right shoulder.
Yeah.
But we never will, I suppose. Which is so fucking annoying. So annoying. Yeah, I have no idea. I thought the same thing too. Why? Her vertebrae in the neck, they showed signs that the killer may have tried to actually decapitate her, but failed. It was the mutilation of the abdomen that made the coroner think that the murderer must have had at least some anatomical knowledge. So it was at this point where they were like,
yeah,
I think we're dealing with a doctor or someone who at least has some sort of knowledge of what they're looking for. So her abdomen had been completely cut open, and then the killer had precisely removed the uterus, the upper portion of the vagina, and 2/3 of the bladder. Oh. As well,
that's
as
that's so disgusting. Because have you ever seen what a belly button looks like? As in, like,
a detached belly button? No. And I don't want to.
My God, it actually freaks me out. It's so vile. It's so vile.
I'd imagine, because there's no way they're going to look like how you expect them. No, they look, to look. Even though you know that it's actually like a long tube that follows
it. It's so sick. It's so sick.
Like, I guess he took the navel, because obviously that's like a, isn't it attached to the uterus? Not the whole thing with belly bumps.
Yeah, but I don't know if something happens. I did biology.
Weirdly, I've never caught anyone's belly button out before. Again, I don't think you caught anyone's belly button out in biology either. So I think we can give you a pass on that one. Yeah, I guess that's why he took the navel as well, but it just still seems so strange.
So weird.
I mean, taking a uterus in general is a fucked up thing to do, but... All of the cuts were clean and precise, and it showed that he had specifically taken what he wanted and left everything else untouched. Like, there was a lot of things that he could have fucked up if he made the wrong incision, and he didn't. So it was almost like he performed accurate surgery, just that nobody wanted or asked for. Three witnesses came forward to report things that they had seen and heard, with one woman even positively identifying Annie as a woman that she had seen just outside of number 29 at 5:30 a.m.
So very close.
Remember, she was found...
like 40 minutes between.
Yeah. She was found just after 6. Yeah. So the other two witnesses also added to that time frame, which means the whole ordeal took place in the span of 15 to 20 minutes.
Jesus Christ. It's like the one before as well, like between people finding them.
Fucking taking her out and precisely removing her organs in 20 minutes and getting away to not be seen.
Do you reckon, right?
Magic.
Do you know, obviously, like, your man had been skulking the area, but if people were leaving for work at certain times every day, do you reckon he was kind of casing out the area and seeing when people were going to and from work, so he kind of had like a window of opportunity, like, okay, I can attack now, because anybody could have been walking around if he just did that.
I feel like he had to have been.
Had to have.
Yeah. I don't think there can be that much luck involved. Struck. No. I just don't think there can.
No, there has to be some thinking about it, or like some thought.
Yeah.
To the timing.
Surely. But then at the same time, he doesn't seem all that organised. It's like he's somewhat organised in his methods for himself, but at the same time it's very chaotic, so it's hard to know.
You could see the run of himself when he gets going, but there's no way you can go and like butcher that many people in a tiny area that has 250,000 people at it, or in it, to not have anybody see something without you coming up with a strategic plan. Is okay, I'm gonna observe an area for a certain amount of time before I pick somebody. It's not necessarily that he would have been stalking said woman, but just stalking a certain area and then look whoever happened to be in that area if he knew that they were a sex worker. Good and fucking golden. Do you know? Like, I don't think nobody could be that lucky.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think the victim mattered as much, but I do think the location did, and knowing the shift patterns of people to know when you can get away with it. But it's almost then I would proffer, with absolutely no evidence, that must have been part of the thrill for him. To get it done in such a quick amount of time. Yeah. Still get his jollies from the mutilation. Yeah. Because it very obviously wasn't the murder that he enjoyed. It was the after part. And then get away.
Because there still would be some thrill of it as well. Because there'd be so many variables. Like, somebody could be running a bit late. Or somebody could have been coming home from somebody else's house. And shouldn't be there at that time. So, like, it's not like he would have been gone completely unseen, or would have had it down to an exact fine T. But if you still wanted to get away with it, with like the least amount of people seeing you as possible, surveying an area for a short while, highly seems like he did it to me. But then he that he could still have the excitement, oh well, I still could get caught.
But this is the thing as well, is that it's most likely believed that it was actually Annie herself who brought him,
she could have,
to that building, to that garden, because it was quite often used by prostitutes, because the garden, like, the doors were often left open for ease of access for the people that lived there, because they were constantly coming and going at all hours of the day and night. So the doors were open, and they would often find prostitutes in there with fucking Johns doing their business. So she probably picked that as the location, because like I said, it was just a stone's throw away from where she was staying. She probably thought, I'll fuck this guy,
go back,
go home with the lodging money and go to bed. So that's the other thing. Like, she could have brought him anywhere.
Yeah.
So then he must surely be surveying multiple areas at once, because I don't know. Either that, or he is just a mad opportunistic cunt and he does have luck on his side for some reason. Like,
There's loads of ways you could look at it.
There's something mad about it. Yeah. Like, there really is. Yeah. So yeah, like I said, 15 to 20 minutes between 5:30 in the morning, when she had been seen talking to the man on the side of the road, and 5:55, we'll say, which is to assume it took John Davis about 10 minutes to drink his cup of tea. I'm adding on 10 minutes. He got up at 5:45. He had a cup of tea. I'm giving him 10 minutes to get outside afterwards. Seems about right. So about 5:55 then is when he would have stumbled out to discover her. So, like, that is insane. That is such a short time frame to fucking completely mutilate a person. But here we are. apart from pointing fingers at either a doctor or a foreigner. Now, by foreigner, they could have just meant straight foreigners and he wasn't English. But I did come across that Jewish people were referred to as foreigners for some reason in old-timey London. So don't really get that one. I suppose they are kind of foreign if they're coming from direct from Israel or something.
Yeah, no, I think that's what it was seen as because they would have come over from like the likes of Israel. Like, literally could have come from fucking anywhere, but because that was seen as like the motherland and stuff, like that's why they were referred to as foreigners. And the East End, there was a load of immigrants there at the time.
Yeah, there was. So yeah, I assume then when they were saying, because the woman that had seen her speaking to a man, she said she thought that he was a foreigner, which we can assume then she meant she thought he was Jewish. But she also said that she only saw the back of him and that he was wearing a hat and that she wouldn't recognise him if she saw him again.
So how do you know he looks like a foreigner then? Sure, like...
Why are you pointing
fingers?
If
he's Jewish, he's probably white. Exactly. I'm not being funny. And by foreign, like, I know there was a lot of people from the West Indies and stuff there at the time as well. So, like, could they have possibly met...
But then she also didn't see his face.
She was talking to a Jewish man.
That's it. She could have meant just straight foreigner, as in he's from somewhere that's not here.
Like, why... You can't go to the police and be like, oh yeah, I saw her talking to a foreigner. If you can't add anything to that and don't say that you can't recognise them.
I think it is literally, she was probably part of the population that hated the Jewish community that was living there and just wanted to point fingers at a Jewish person. Because I can't think of any other logical reason why you would say you would not recognise the man. You didn't get a good look at him. You only saw him from behind. But you're sure it was a foreigner. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Reeks of discrimination.
It does. It's,
to be honest,
it does. It's just not right. Like, but yeah, that was it. They didn't really turn up any more witnesses or leads. There was nothing in like the surrounding area. Like, they found a leather apron at the scene, but it turned out to belong to one of the resident's sons. It had nothing to do with the murder. And it was around this time that Jack was being called Leather Apron. He wasn't yet Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a whole lot to the leather apron thing. It was almost like created by the fucking press because they had nothing to back it up.
Yeah. And probably spread like community gossip as well. Because if they would have got wind, a leather apron was found at the scene and they were talking to other people about it. And then if it was in the press.
Between the two murders. So between the one you covered and between this one. It kind of came about then. So... And I think it was because there was a lot of speculation that he was a butcher. So obviously they would have worn leather aprons.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
I think that's where it came from. Yeah. I didn't go into it a whole lot because it doesn't really matter. So yeah, but that was kind of it. So the leather apron was there, but that didn't show up anything. And then they found like half of an envelope, but it turned out to have belonged to Annie. And that was kind of it. There wasn't really any evidence at all that would lead them to a killer. She was laid to rest with absolutely no one but her, no one. Who gave her such a horrific end in life.
Jesus.
This is a fun story, isn't it? So lighthearted. This is what happens. I always end up with the grimmer side of the story because I always do the middle, and the middle almost always means just straight murder.
Well, you bring that on yourself. If you'd like a break from misery a week again, that'd be no bothers. Me and Quiva will take one for the team.
No problem. I mean, look, most likely. So, yes. So we're moving on to... The next one. So at 12:40 a.m. on the 30th of September 1888, a man named Morris Eagle returned to the International Working Men's Educational Club, which is a mouthful. What do they call it for short?
What?
The International Working Men's Educational Club.
International Men's. So a study group.
Pretty much. It was a way for people who either travelled all over the world or were travelling currently from somewhere else because they're travelling all over the world, from what I can gather. And they would meet up and have, like, debates. And one of the debates that was actually going on the night...
Oh, is it like one of those boys' club things?
You know, where they think they're better than you because they sit on leather chairs.
Like, drink and smoke cigars and, like,
exactly
grade women.
One. Because the...
yeah.
The debate they were having that night, which I find severely strange. Maybe it's just me. But the debate they were having that night was, why Jews should be socialists?
What?
Yeah. I'm like, well, why should Jews be socialists? I'd like to know what the pros and cons of that are. And why is that also a topic up for debate?
Yeah. Oh my God.
I have 0% of an idea. Like, I have no clue.
No.
But yes, so Maurice Eagle returned to that at 12:40 in the morning, and he found that the street door in was closed. So obviously there was more than one entrance, and he headed through Dutfield's yard to get in the other side. Now, the yard was dark, but given the path that he walked into the building, if anything had been there when he passed through, he not only would have likely brushed up against it, but he more likely would have completely tripped over it.
Oh.
Yeah. So 12:40, there's nothing there. This man walked on the right side. He knows for a fact he walked on the right side. He kept to the building. Mm. Makes sense. So then at 1 a.m., Lewis Deemshoots came through the yard and noticed his pony was veering to the left. So obviously there was something up with the horse. So he looked out to see if he could get a look at what was spooking him. And he spotted like an obstruction on the ground. There was just a lump of something on the right side, but it was so dark he couldn't really make out what it was. So he jumped down and he struck a match, illuminating the area just long enough to see that it was the figure of a woman on the ground before the match blew out. How fucking spooky is that?
Oh, that's the stuff of nightmares.
Isn't it?
I literally just got chills.
It's so spooky.
Like, did the bitch like rise and blow it out? Oh, I'd have a heart attack.
Imagine. This one's just
head
like,
fucking half hanging off.
Yeah, that's it. The neck is just fucking disappearing into the distance and then just...
It's just the windpipe.
Oh my God, the windpipe blew it out.
That's disgusting.
He ran inside because he automatically assumed that that was his wife. Because his wife had a frail disposition, so I think he just assumed that she had dropped dead outside the gaff. So he ran in, he asked around where she was. She was sitting inside, she was fine. She was having a few drinks, having a chat with the lads. Not a bother on her.
Relief.
So he was like, there's a woman outside. I don't know if she's drunk or dead. So they came back out with a candle to get a better look. And they lifted her chin and they saw that the blood was still pouring from the fresh gash in her neck. And that answered that question.
Oh, ew, so, ew.
The woman was Elizabeth Stride, and she was 42, and she was missing all of her top teeth. Nothing. She had nothing there. As a prostitute, I would argue that that is in fact an advantage.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong.
I mean, I don't know if they were sucking dick in the 1800s, but a toothless bitch is the way to go.
They definitely were, like, ah, come on. They definitely were.
They were, yeah, there's no way they were too proper to do that.
Yeah.
Tracking the movements of this woman proved to be a difficult job for the police because, as it turned out, Elizabeth was a bit of a chronic fucking liar.
Oh.
Yeah. She did not enjoy telling the truth at all in any way, shape or form. And now, there's a lot of examples in the book. We've mentioned the book already last episode. There's a lot of examples of the lies that she told, but I've only really mentioned one because I enjoy it. So, she claimed that she lost her child and her husband when the Princess Alice sank in 1878. But she survived by climbing a rope.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. And there was a man climbing ahead of her on said rope. And he apparently slipped and kicked her in the face. And that's why she has no teeth.
I'm sure, Elizabeth.
Yeah. So what happened was actually more, first of all, boring. But also sad. Like, it was sad. There's no denying that, but it's like,
did she just have like gingivitis? Wait, are you talking about it's sad how she was missing her teeth? Because I don't understand how that would be sad.
No, her husband.
You're talking about
child.
The dead kid.
Yes.
I was like, okay, I was like, her teeth gone or definitely from like gingivitis or like rot jaw. I feel like there's been a disconnect. I thought we were still talking about that. Obviously now it's about the dead family, so we're just going to reverse swing back right on track.
I don't actually know what truly happened to her teeth, but from the way it goes, she seemed a bit rowdy at times, so she probably got them knocked out just in a fight. But
yeah. Oh man, they had no dental care. What are we talking about?
No, her child was stillborn and her husband died of heart disease.
Oh.
So, like I said, sad but mundane. It's not as exciting as they drowned at sea.
Yeah.
So, again, much like all of the other victims, Elizabeth's life was not exactly going well. And she became fond of the drink. And she funded that habit with prostitution.
Hmm.
So regardless of her slightly shady past, nothing in her background actually indicated any reason or any possible suspect in her life that might have had their own reasons to murder her.
Yeah.
So at this point, they're fairly sure it's a serial killer, but at the same time, they're trying to find, like, is it this one or did somebody else just do her in?
Yeah.
Despite the fact then that only her throat had been cut and, for whatever reason, the tip of her nose had been cut off.
Ah.
Mm. There's a theory about that, and I will go into it at the end because there's one more much more important than that. There is a theory, and it's not one that we need to save for episode 3. So we'll go into it. We will go into it.
Okay.
And she also had 2 pressure marks on her chest just below her collarbones, where that was likely where the killer pinned her down.
Mm.
So despite that being all, and we'll say, because considering the others, in that quotes, happened to her, they still figured that it was a Ripper murder, and they put her in with the rest of them because they just assumed that he got interrupted before he could pull out his ritual. So he just barely got to kill her, and then he got interrupted. And it's likely that it actually might have been the slow approaching hooves of John Davis's horse.
Oh, the pony.
Yeah. Was it John Davis?
Yeah, you said... No, it wasn't, John Davis.
It was Lewis Deemschultz. John Davis was in the last one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Lewis Deemschultz is his horse. I just wrote it wrong in my notes. Yeah, so it's most likely him that interrupted him before he actually got to... Yeah. And there is also a lot of speculation that it's very likely, because the courtyard was so dark, that old Jackie boy was still in some dark, shadowy corner.
Oh, lingering!
Watching her body be discovered. Yeah.
My arse just clenched up. That's disgusting. Because
in the time frame, they can't quite see how he would have gotten away.
No.
In between, like, the body being discovered and him murdering her. But then when Lewis went into the building to go get the candle, they figured that's when he fled.
Yeah.
Because then there was nobody on the street so he could get away. So the whole time disgusting. They're discovering this fucking gruesome scene, this cunt is standing in the corner somewhere watching.
Oh, in the bush like a pervert.
It is in no way the most gruesome of the murders, but it is the most spooky.
It's creepy. Yeah. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. It's so spooky, like between the candle blowing out and then this fucking bushwanker standing in the corner watching you discover the brain he just killed. Like,
ugh.
No.
Oh, that makes my neck feel funny. I don't like it.
Yeah, it doesn't sit right with me at all.
No.
Creep. That does seem the most likely conclusion as well, because the Ripper, not getting much satisfaction that he needed from the mutilation of the corpses, he very quickly went on the hunt for his next one. And when I say very quickly, I mean within an hour.
Jesus Christ, give it a rest.
He was not wasting time. He did not get what he needed from that kill. So he just straight on to the next one.
Then that kind of squashes our theory in a way. Do you remember the one that we were talking about earlier on, that he must have like been cased in places? Because if he moved on that quickly within a space of an hour, sure, you're not going to have time to...
Yeah, that's it. And he also, this is what I mean, he must just have some luck about him, because he moved out of his comfort zone. He left Whitechapel because obviously there's currently a murder investigation going on into someone he's just murdered. So he moved out of Whitechapel and into city proper. And that's when he happened upon his next victim, Catherine Eddowes. Wee bit of background on Catherine, just the small build up. I'll give you the gist and that'll do. At 8:30 p.m. Catherine was messy drunk. Catherine was bad. Bitch couldn't stand. She was bambi-legged in a doorway to the point that she had managed to gather herself a crowd of people who were just all pointing and laughing at her making a tit of herself pissed drunk.
Oh my god, that gives me PTSD, because it's like, I've definitely done that.
From the sounds of it, I don't think you were nearly as bad ever as this woman was. Nevertheless, she was bad enough to attract the police, and they scooped her up and they popped her in a cell until she sobered up. And so around 12:50 a.m. they went to her cell to go check on her, and the bitch was sat up bright as a daisy, singing, having a great time for herself. And she asked them when she could go, and she was like, I can take care of myself now. She left and gave them the fake name of Mary Kelly, which coincidentally happened to be the name of the Ripper's last victim. Spooky coincidence. Again,
no, it's like, don't like that.
Weird. But like, don't Mary like was obviously just Mary. Do you know what I mean? Mary and John. The most common names in the world.
Yeah, and I feel like there were so many like Irish immigrants over there as well at the time. Like,
I mean, true.
Come on.
Also that. We all have a Mary. And then Kelly was the last name of a man that she'd been seeing. So she just took his last name, went with Mary. Mary Kelly. Sorted. Yeah. That's who I am.
There you are.
It was just unfortunate enough as well that Catherine wasn't kept in just a little bit longer, because by the time she was turned back out onto the streets, that was right around the time that Jack's kill was being interrupted, sending him right towards her.
Ugh. Talk about bad timing.
Yeah, honestly. Like, the coincidence that she gave the name of his last victim, the victim to follow her, and then just happened to be turned out onto the streets right at the time that he was, I would imagine, frantically seeking another victim. Because he had, like, murderer blue balls.
Yeah. Oh, that's so weird.
It's so weird. There's a weird amount of chance and luck involved in the Jack the Ripper story that I wasn't previously aware of.
What did he do in a previous life that he was, like, awarded all of this, like...
Truly. Because he's a massive bastard in this life, so it's not like he's deserving it.
No.
Has to have been a saint in a previous life.
Yeah.
So Catherine turned out to be a lot easier to identify than Elizabeth had been, because Catherine wasn't so much of a chronic liar, despite giving fake names to the police.
Yeah.
And it was the man that she had been seeing for 7 years, John Kelly, who ended up actually identifying her, which is quite sad. Because he had actually told her, he was like, you know the killer's going around, will you please be careful? Like, don't be out too late tonight. And she promised him she'd be home by 4 that day. And then she went off, got pissed and got locked up. So even when she was leaving the fucking police station, she was like, I'm going to get a hiding when I get home.
Yeah.
And then, of course, his worst fears came through and he had to fucking identify her body the next day. So sad. Catherine was well-liked and she was described as always jolly and singing. And she was also said to be an intelligent, scholarly woman. So she shared her name with her mother, so her family called her Chick. But John Kelly and the rest of her friends only knew her as Kate. But as liked as Kate was, she still had her demons like the rest of our victims. And she was living the vagrant lifestyle, fond of the drink, and funding the habit with prostitution. It was after getting released from her cell that she stumbled out into the path of the Ripper that night. Again, Kate's throat had been deeply cut open from left to right, and then he carried on to the abdomen. He cut her from sternum to vagina and opened her up, taking the intestines out again and placing them over her shoulder, the right shoulder.
Yes.
This time, though, he didn't leave them intact. This time, he cut 2 foot from them away, for whatever reason.
Why?
There was no reason for it. He just decided to do it.
No, it's so weird. It is weird. I'm trying to think of a reason as to maybe why, and my mind is blank.
Yeah, there just isn't one. Like, there just isn't.
No.
So he then exposed her kidney, cut that out and removed it, and then he took the uterus along with it for good measure. But that clearly wasn't enough to scratch the itch for him, because in a strange step that he hadn't done before, he decided to move on to the face. So he absolutely ruined it. Now, I have a theory about it. I'll get into it. I might save it for episode 3, but I'm not sure. Actually, I will. I'm going to save my theory for episode 3 because, again, it ties in with another one and it's best to talk about it then. But I have a theory. But yeah, he moved on to her face. He cut her nose off completely, leaving nothing but skull. So, you know, from the very top down.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice. Then he made 2 incisions in her eyelids and 2 V-shaped cuts under her eyes. Then, just for good measure, he just let loose and slashed her face 8 more times at random. He then lay the removed section of intestine under her arm, took the kidney and the uterus with him, and off he fucked. Are you as bewildered as I am?
Why? Yeah, like, there's so many things. Like, you could nearly understand the uterus, because if it's like some weird symbolic shit for him, like, I don't know, because they were sex workers or whatever, yeah. Like, and he wanted to defile them that much more, and like, I don't know, this is going to sound really dumb, and well, I understand how dumb it's going to sound, but like, taking away the thing that like
makes them a woman,
that would have, yeah, exactly, yeah, like taking that away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But the kidney is kind of like, what are you going to fucking do with that? Like, put it in a pie?
Well,
put a bit of steak, like, I don't understand what the point of the kidney is.
There is a slight possibility that Jack was a cannibal, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Dirty
bastard. A moment. But yeah, even placing the fucking, the intestine under her arm. Like, he cut it off for no reason. Didn't need it. And he was like, ah, you can just, here, hold this. Like, bizarre. And the nose. But yeah, so that was how she was mutilated. And this is what I was going to say as to the possible why. As to why it started. So it started with the tip of the nose on Liz. And then the complete nose on the next one.
Mm.
The thought is, Jack fucked a prostitute. Jack got syphilis. Syphilis started eating Jack's face and fucked him up.
Yeah.
So he started taking their faces as retribution.
But is that like, the other way, if you have bad syphilis, well, back in the day, if you had bad syphilis, you could take these, they were literally fucking
mercury tablets to try like kill the syphilis, but it like turned your teeth silver.
Ooh.
So like,
I didn't know that about them, but okay.
Yeah, no, it was. So like, obviously, when it was dark, nobody would have fucking seen them. So for people to like pick some, like someone out of a lineup, like, well, I seen a cunt with silver teeth.
Identify.
Yeah. Because there would, like, they'd be, like, a gammy silver. It's disgusting. And they'd have, like, really weird, rancid gums from the medicine. That's if he could afford it.
This is true.
Just an idea.
That's probably not the thought I'm thinking. I assume he was just being ravaged by the syphilis. And then that would explain why he was such a loon.
Because
the brain has been eaten by syphilis.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're looking at someone being numbed away at syphilis, would you actually take them on as a customer?
Yeah, because they've all, like, holes in their face and shit. And you could see, it's not like...
Would you say customer?
Not that that would be appealing, but, like, it starts to eat away at, like, at your skin and stuff if it gets that bad, I think. Like, I've seen pictures and it looks bad. In a sense, it kind of looks like people that smoke meth. Do you know when they start to pick their skin and shit? Like, that's what it looks like. So
yes.
Because...
Yeah.
Not that they'd find it unappealing that to get the money and stuff, but they'd know that he had it, and obviously they didn't want to catch it, so I can't imagine them.
That's syphilis.
Yeah.
Exactly. They would know straight away that it's syphilis and be like, not touching you when you're fucking syphilis.
Not near my
dick.
Coochie.
So, I don't know how much I do prescribe to the syphilis theory, but it is a good theory.
Yeah.
Just, it's completely nullified by the fact that ain't nobody desperate enough for money that they would give themselves syphilis when it was so hard to treat back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, but it is an interesting theory as to that's why he started to take their faces, but I'm not sure. But yeah, so all of this, once again, happened in the span of 15 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
15 fucking minutes before an inspector came along and discovered the grisly scene. So he blew his whistle to alert others in the area that there had been yet another fucking murder.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point then, there were two simultaneous murder investigations going on.
At the same time.
By two separate police departments. Both of them being Ripper murders. Yeah. And this is between, what did I say?
Spitalfield. Was it Spitalfield and like London City?
1 o'clock in the morning?
I thought you were talking about area.
Oh yeah, it was, yeah. City proper and Spitalfield. Yeah. But no, it was between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. Both of these murders were committed. So in the span of 3 hours, he murdered two people, dissected them. Like,
and jogged on his merry way.
It blows my mind. It really does. Yeah. And got away completely. So while those two investigations were going on, another police officer found a piece of apron covered in blood and shit.
Oh, lovely.
And he found it right. Yeah. He found it right in the middle of a Jewish marketplace. And above it, on the wall of a building mostly populated also by Jewish people, was a message written in white chalk against black brick that said, "Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing." Jews was spelled J-U-W-E-S.
Okay, literacy.
Jews are the men that will not be blamed for nothing. I have many issues with the grammar and spelling of that sentence. So... there was speculation about why Jews was spelt wrong, with some people believing that there was some sort of like hidden meaning behind it, or it was like a taunt of some kind, or something to do with the occult.
Oh,
even.
Call off it.
Yeah, of course, you have to, even in the 1800s, we had to bring in the occult. This is back when they thought women were turned into witches when they fucking got their period, so it's not really too surprising that they tried to bring some sort of a demonic connection into it. But the most likely reason is actually just that the killer was a fucking moron and he was illiterate.
Like, he was spelling it phonetically.
Because
like
illiteracy
like
was
Jews.
High. Exactly. Jews. They're not able to say for 100% certain, though, that it was actually the Ripper that wrote the message. And a lot of people are of the opinion that he didn't, because there was, like I said, a lot of anti-Semitism in London at the time. So anyone could have wrote that message, and it just so happened that the piece of apron fell there. But the piece of apron was 100% certain from the killer, because it matched perfectly to a piece of Kate Edo's apron that had been ripped off. So they also knew then that he had used it to clean the knife. So he cut some of her apron, ripped it off, cleaned his knife. Because obviously poor Kate, when she was murdered, she evacuated her bowels. So hence the blood and shit. That was all over.
So I'm not laughing at that she shit herself. It's like, hence the blood and shit.
Hence the blood and shit. Just, you gotta love 1800s London. Because that's what most of the streets were anyway. It was just blood and shit. But yeah, so ripped it off. Used it to clean his knife. And I'm like, how are you cleaning your knife with blood and shit, mate? But anyway, look, not my business. Oh. So,
like, what was the mind?
The murders kind of went quiet for a wee bit now. So this was September. For the whole month of August, we had no murders. But what we did have were letters. And this is finally where the moniker Jack the Ripper came around. So the letter comes and it says, "Dear Boss."
Oh my God, dear Boss.
Sorry, definitely not in that accent. It's the Boss for me. Well, Boss. But this is London, so that's most likely not what it sounded like.
Like, tell me now, fucking Jack the Ripper dear wasn't boss. That little Polish man and was an Irish man, like 100%. Like, who addresses Dear Boss unless you're... Oh, stop now.
Yeah, I don't see Polish men being like, Dear Boss. You know what I mean? Like, it's, Dear Boss. I keep on hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits.
See?
I am down on whores and I...
What? That's an Irishman. Oh, it had me in the fits. Like, I'm telling you now.
Yeah. Had me in fits. Jackie boy was Irish. We're fucking proving it slowly. Because it wasn't... It was our Jaxie, the Ripper. I am down on whores and I shan't quit ripping them until I do get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work and want to start again. You will soon hear of me with my funny little games. I saved some of the proper red stuff in a ginger beer bottle over the last job to write with, but it went thick like glue and I can't use it. Red ink is fit enough, I hope. Ha ha.
Oh, so funny, Jack. Lol.
Ha ha. The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ear off and send them to the police officers, just for jolly, wouldn't you? Keep this letter back till I do a bit more work, then give it out straight. My knife's so nice and sharp, I want to get to work right away, if I get a chance. Good luck, yours truly, Jack the Ripper. Don't mind me giving the trade name.
Such an embarrassing fool. Like, I can literally imagine him, not that I know, you know, but like, as he's writing this, thinking that he's so fucking clever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by a crackling fireplace, brandy in hand, as he's writing this, thinking that he is the most, like, intelligent person and funniest bastard ever.
What do you mean? It was a glass of poutine.
See, and the way the word buckled was in it as well, man, I'm telling you.
Joe, I'm not going to question it. I'm fully of the opinion.
He's not
now,
that little ginger Polish man.
So...
It's an Irishman. No. I'm telling you.
And he also finished it off with, "Wasn't good enough to post this before I got all the red ink off my hands. Curse it. No luck yet. They say I'm a doctor now. Ha ha." Or probably more, it's a madman, so it's probably, "They say I'm a doctor now. Ha ha." And the envelope was addressed to The Boss, Central News Office, London City.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. That was the first letter they received. And they do fully believe that it was Jack himself that sent the letter. And thus gave himself the name Jack the Ripper. And obviously the newspapers were like, "Oh," when they heard Jack the Ripper. Because that shit sells. It's the reason he's still fucking talked about today. Jack the Ripper is a has his own museum.
Yeah. And he has his own museum.
There is pubs over here in Hanover named after... It's called Jack the Ripper's. Like, you know what I mean?
That is such bad taste.
Isn't it? But I low-key wanted to go in there because I was like, it looks so dingy. It's like a side alley and everything. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, so wrong. But low-key want to go in.
What a bunch of tramps. Distasteful bastards.
Which is also... This is completely off topic of Jack the Ripper. But I mentioned I went to an Irish pub here last Saturday.
Yeah.
And they had two drinks on the menu that I was very uncomfortable with.
Oh God.
One was a black and tan.
Right.
And the other was a car bomb. And I was like, am I mistaken? Or do we not really particularly like mentioning either of those drinks in Ireland anymore? Because they're a bit...
Yeah, I feel like is it definitely like an Irish bar that's owned by Irish people. So anyway, sometimes you go on holidays and it's like an Irish bar, but it's definitely not an Irish bar. Because you won't be caught dead.
Like, I don't know if they're Irish owners or they're Germans who really like our... Because I've told you this before. Germany love Ireland. They fucking adore us. I don't know why. They just love
Ireland. Say it's that because like, there's no fucking way. You see how pressed... I've seen how pressed people get on Twitter when it's like... not to be calling out the Americans, you know.
About the car bomb.
Yeah, when they have like Irish car bomb drinks. Like, they're like... That's so fucking disrespectful. Can you not?
Yeah.
So I can't imagine.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. I feel like no Irish establishment. It. Yeah, actually has a car. Because as soon as I saw it in the menu, I turned to Dave and I was like, oh no. Yeah, it is. It'll forever be too soon. Too soon.
Yeah, but the car bombs were only the 70s, like, you know, but still. The black and tans you could forgive. That is true. The car bombs, that's a bit like.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that you could forgive the black and tans because bastards, but...
No, definitely not. But as a drink, you know, it's. I feel like they may not actually be Irish owners and they made the same mistake as Leo Varadkar and thought that the black and tans were our guys.
No! <weren't.
laughs> But yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. So it's the same level of disrespect that having a Jack the Ripper's that looks like a dingy dark alley where he did most of his fucking murdering.
Yeah, it's...
Just something a bit not right about it. That was the first letter that they're 100% sure it was from him. And the next one then that came was a postcard. And this one's even better. Not Lizzie, get ready to be sure he's Irish again.
Oh my God.
I wasn't codding, dear old boss, when I gave you the tip.
Won't you go away from me?
Are you codding me now that this wasn't a fucking Irishman?
stop. Lads. I'm telling you.
You'll hear about saucy Jackie's work tomorrow, double event this time. Number one squealed a bit, couldn't finish straight off. Had not time to get ears for police. Thanks for keeping last letter back till I got to work again, Jack the Ripper.
Try telling me he's from Irish
that
man.
Was the postcard. And yeah, the postcard, they're not sure. The only thing that makes them think the postcard is legit is that... He mentioned the double ear. Murder
yeah.
before it had been released to the press.
Right.
So they're like, maybe that is saucy Jackie writing it himself, yeah. you know? And then we have the last one and the most important and what brings us to the cannibalism theory.
Right.
So this is known as the letter from hell. Why? Because it said from hell at the top of it.
Oh, you embarrassing bastard.
So
fucking return
Mr.
address.
Mr. Lusk, sir, spelt S-O-R. I send you half the kidney I took from one woman, preserved it for you to get to the... What does that mean? T'other? It's so misspelled, I actually don't know what word he meant. Oh, the other. T'other.
Hey, t'other day. I'm telling you now. He's shortening
t'other
it.
Day.
Try saying that.
Yep. Preserved it for you, t'other day.
I'm telling you.
Preserved it for you. T'other piece I fried and ate it. Was very nice. I may send you the bloody knife that took it out if you only wait a while longer. Signed, catch me when you can. Mr. Lusk.
Mr.
M-I-S-H-T-E-R. Now here's the thing. This letter was spelled so much worse than the other ones.
That there, he definitely
like,
didn't do
I
it.
Send you half the kidney. K-I-D-N-E.
Kidney.
Preserved. P-R-A-S-A-R-V-E-D.
They're just spelling it phonetically.
N-I-S-E.
Like.
Yeah, knife is K-N-I-F, which is weird that they had the K, but they didn't have the E.
Yeah.
It seems a bit strange. Weight is W-A-T-E, and while is W-H-I-L. So...
What is their beef with the
E's? It's very strangely spelt. Yeah. Which you can see now why I struggled to read that one. And sir, again, S-O-R.
Sir.
Mr. Lusk.
Sore.
Sore. So... Lusk automatically assumed that this was a sheep's kidney or some animal's kidney. Like, it wasn't a human's kidney. Jack didn't send this letter. Bit fucking weird. But they decided for the lulz, they would bring this kidney to a doctor and get it checked out to see was it in fact a human kidney. And it was.
Shock.
And it had been preserved in wine.
Oh man, so, he was sautéing that. He was getting ready to sauté that with a bit of garlic. salt and pepper.
It was marinated, exactly. I'm like, was it him? Was it actually him? Is that actually fucking... Oh God, who was it?
Armin Muse.
Kidney from?
Oh, never mind. I was going to say, because in Armin Muse, fucking saute a kidney with fucking oil and salt and pepper.
Not Armin Muse. Catherine Eddowes. He took her right kidney.
Yeah.
So it very well could have been her kidney that he sent, and he may very well have eaten half of it. And...
Dirty fucker.
Who was it? Was it... there was another serial killer, cannibal. I cannot remember which one it was now. Who said that... The uterus he liked to eat in particular because of how chewy it was.
Ew.
So, yeah, there is a high chance that he was taking the organs because organs are such a high fucking valuable source of nutrients. I don't know about uteruses, but liver and kidneys and such, awful. They do have quite a high proportion of nutrients because, you know, not a lot of food available in the time. May as well take that good, good offal while you can. Yeah, it is very plausible that the Ripper took the organs to eat, that he was actually a cannibal.
Ew.
Yeah. So those are the letters. That's how he got his moniker. Those are the other three of the five. So we've four. We're up to four now. We've only one left to go, and we will go into that next week before we go into the theories and conspiracies about who the fuck this motherfucker
was. And who definitely fucking did it, because... There's many a theory, but...
Well...
There's definitely one... Well, until today when we've discovered he's definitely an Irishman.
Mm-hmm. It was Arjaxi.
Mm-hmm.
We've ruled out the Polish man now.
Yeah. That's just so funny.
Yeah. Fucked up, man.
Oh, it's so disgusting. I'm still not over the second murder that you covered. I'm still not over just how creepy it was. Like, I'm going to have nightmares about that now tonight.
The match blowing out.
Yeah.
I could see it. I could see the whole scene of this poor man being like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Because actually, I forgot to mention, he actually tried to lift it with his whip, like for whipping the pony, which bastard.
Mm.
But he tried to lift it with his whip and he couldn't. So that's when he dropped down. So he's just there poking the dead body of this poor woman who was minutes dead, if even that. And then he jumps down, lights a match, gets the fucking outline of this corpse in front of him. And then the just... blows out.
That is
horrifying.
That's so disgusting.
And then you just add the thought of this caped figure, because he always wore a cape, because there had been some sightings of him, but no one really actually connected him as being possibly it, and nobody saw his face. So they always saw him in the cape, and he obviously wore the cape to hide any sort of bloodstains that he would have. But then the coroner released a statement that the man was likely to not have any bloodstains on him because of how good and precise he was with the knife.
Right. That's how he got away with
it. So, again, that's what I mean. Yeah. So, yeah, you just have this caped fucker who's weirdly wonderful at murdering people out of nowhere, standing in the distance watching you discover someone he just murdered.
Oh,
I cannot
so
cope with that.
So
I can't.
Sick.
My brain won't let me.
It's so sick.
Honestly.
It's so creepy.
So, yeah, I can see, while we all agree that the canonical five were not the only ones, I can see why most things just focus on the canonical five.
Yeah.
Because, so yeah, so that is part two of Arjaxi, the Ripper.
Tell you now.
I caught you not.
There's just too many Irish-isms. What the fuck would you call them?
Yes.
That it's a bit suspicious.
Is that what we call them? Is that
it's colloquialisms, not like just say another way. Like I have my slang down in the Midlands, but like you'd have different slang to me from being in Limerick, and like I have words that Queeve has never heard of,
that
and like
true.
Likewise.
I think it is that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah, I think it is that one. But yeah.
People know what we're trying to say.
To be honest, I did not consider that he was an Irish man until we started like going through the letter and pointing out how many Irish phrases were in it. So I'm just firmly going with Jack the Ripper was an Irish man.
Yeah. Here now, folks. In fact.
Yeah. You've heard the truth. The truth on this podcast. We are only here with 100% verifiable facts that we make up. I mean, research.
Yeah. With great intent.
Oh, but yeah. So now that we've been truly, thoroughly traumatized, and we can have fantastic nightmares about matches blown out and lassoing someone with a fucking bit of intestine, I think we'll call it quits for today.
I think we will.
We'll leave it there. And we will catch you guys next week. Somebody will be doing part three. Don't know who. But we will be back for part three, like I said, for the final murder. The most gruesome for sure of all of his murders. And some more conspiracy theories and suspects and more conspiracy theories. So I look forward to that part, because that one's going to be a lot more fun than just talking about straight up mutilation and murder.
Mm.
That's it. I don't think I have any news.
I don't think
I have nothing to bring
I
up this
do.
Week.
Well, I bruised my fucking tailbone because I got absolutely slashed when I was at Cuiva's house and broke my arse off her fucking coffee table, but I'm sure people don't want to hear about that. I can barely sit down. I'm traumatised. It's my own doing, but look, that's about the most exciting thing that's happened to me. Me breaking myself
I take
up.
It back. Maybe
because I'm a pig and cannot control myself.
Maybe murdered Liz and current podcast Liz are more sloppy, are closer to the same kind of sloppy drunk than I thought.
Oh, absolutely. This is what I was telling you, like, that's why I laughed. I was like, ha ha ha. Are you sure? I've never been that bad.
I was like, I know your tendency to Bambi, but like, it sounded like she was like, didn't know where she was. And I feel like you at least know where you are.
I mean, there's been times. Long story short, I'm a mess. No explanation needed.
I missed a hell of a weekend.
Oh my God, you did. I was in a shambles.
Alrighty, we will catch you lovely listeners next week. We thank you once again for joining us. And I would like to remind everyone to continue to have positive vibes and negative tests and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles. And join our cult.
Really? Really?
Stupid fucking cat.